Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening. My name is Brenda McCoy. I'm also known as Lady Brenda, and you are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. This evening, psychic Cher Starwast is going to be with us to reveal the mystical art of scrying. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts. Maureen, how are you doing tonight?
Good night.
I'm okay, thank you, Brenda, and I'm looking forward to your show, very much so. Very much so.
So, Maureen, tell us a little bit about what you do on Psychic Access. And wherever.
And wherever I fly on my broom. I am an empath, psychic consultant, intuitive, and I'm very well versed in tarot. Tarot is my main thing, and I feel that tarot is a symbolic record of human experience. So I read off the cards, I'm self-taught in every way, and I find that with a caring heart, I do what I do okay, and I love it. And I'm here at working with everybody else, of course, at PsychicAccess.com.
Well, thank you. I love what you just said about the tarot.
Oh, yeah.
I completely agree with that.
Yeah, I think so, too. Definitely.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Steve, how are you doing this evening?
Extremely well, thank you, Brenda.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you do, honey?
Absolutely. I'm a psychic medium. I'm also interested in tarot, although I'm not as conversant with it as you guys, but I use it mostly for meditation and for seeking guidance myself, but I find it extremely accurate and very, very powerful. It seems to just work in layers and layers and layers. It's fascinating. But I'm particularly interested in astrology. I find astrology very accurate. So although I'm a medium, I try to combine the different systems and tools available to us. And as with you guys, I give readings with PsychicAccess.com.
Well, thank you. Yes, that's the great thing about what we do. I mean, you can never stop learning. There's always more. You know, you become more and more multifaceted.
Oh, for sure.
And Bobby.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. I'm doing great. So, Bobby, tell us about what you do, honey.
Also a psychic medium like Steve, and very interested in, you know, doing that for people, but also bringing that out in people. I like teaching people different ways that they can connect, that they can not only connect with people from the other side, but also connect with source information and get the answers for themselves as well. What that feels like, it's an exhilarating feeling when you can see answers or in touch with guidance, and I think it's kind of cool for everyone to be able to feel that. So I specialize mostly in that, and also work at Psychic Access with y'all.
Well, thank you, Bobby.
Sure. Sure, Brenda.
And then that leaves me. I'm Lady Brenda, or Brenda McCoy, and I'm a predictive psychic. I'm pretty straightforward. I work at PsychicAccess.com with everybody else, and I'm just so glad to be here and to do this show. And that brings us to the guest for tonight, Cher Starwast. She's a highly respected psychic and teacher. She's well known for her clear and predictive, and she's also a predictive reader. She's a regular speaker at the Whole Life Expo. She has been featured in newspapers, magazines, on radio and television. She's also an ordained minister. She holds a doctorate in metaphysics and is a Reiki therapist. She kind of travels the globe. She maintains offices in both the United States and Austria, where she conducts her private practices. For more information on Cher's work, please visit www.soothsayershare.net. Good evening, Cher. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Lady Brent. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm just so thrilled to talk to you. And, you know, I consider you the czar of scrying. So, and everybody here, you know, inquiring minds, they really want to know what scrying is. So could you tell us a little bit about what is scrying and how it differs from other forms of psychic readings?
Well, to me, it's like looking in a reflective surface, and you get a picture, and then you interpret the picture. And so it's twofold. You know, you first get a vision, and if you're lucky, and then you interpret what your vision means to you, and most times it's absolutely correct. And a reflective surface could be anything. You know, it could be a bowl of water, it could be a crystal ball, black mirror. You know, it could be any form of polished stone. I think it differs from other forms of divination in that it's kind of vague. You know, it's not like there's numbers or there's cards or there's, you know, you can either get a picture in your mind's eye or in the surface, or you can't. It's I think, extremely hard to teach. It took me a long time before I saw anything in a crystal ball. And actually, the first time I saw something in a crystal ball, it was a tarot card. So it was like my guides are trying to get me to see something, so they showed me something familiar. And so I started interpreting the cards almost through the ball. And then I thought it was cheating. It felt like cheating, right? And then after a while, of course, the cards left, and I just saw pictures. But it's rather vague. It's very, I think, difficult to teach. One of the hardest forms of divination to teach, because, like I said, you don't have numbers. It's not palmistry. It's not cards. There's just this, you know, crystal ball or black mirror, usually. And, you know, and you can't force yourself to see anything or conjure up anything. It either comes or it doesn't.
So, you know, it's almost like what you're saying is you have to be able to, like, be prepared to see, like, a pure vision. And you know, would you say that it helps having a knowledge of the tarot? I mean, I read the crystal ball myself, and I find that it helps to have the knowledge of tarot just so that you can interpret some of the symbols you see in the ball. What do you think about that?
I think you're absolutely right. And like I said, I really feel my guides sort of gave up on me and just showed me tarot cards on the wall, because I just wasn't getting it, and I wanted so much to learn how to use the crystal ball. And I think that if you have a knowledge of symbols, you know, any kind of symbolism, and symbols mean different things to different people. Your experiences are different than my experiences. So there's no one set of symbols. You can't go in the book and look up symbols, you know. It's what that symbol means to the reader at that time. And so, it's very helpful. I think any form of divination is helpful as you go along to help other forms, you know, to open up channels to other forms of divination.
Okay, and so can you tell the audience what are some of the, like, most popular, like, scrying tools that are out there now? I mean, I know the crystal ball is pretty obvious, but other than the crystal ball, what else do you feel? What else? Because I know you scry with a bunch of different types of tools. Can you tell us what you use?
I use a crystal ball. I have a beautiful crystal ball that I acquired many years ago. Black mirrors are some of my, you know, favorites, because you can actually make them, and a formula can be made to make them usable for different types of scrying. For you can have a healing mirror or a divination mirror, you know, or people on the other side, depending on what magical elements you put in the mirror. So they're very flexible, and they're very personal. Regular mirrors you can use, stones of all kinds, bowls of water, particularly if you have water in a crystal bowl, it's quite beautiful. A lot of people will put black ink in that to make it a dark surface. You know, there's just many, many things. But, yeah, most popular really are crystal balls.
Mm-hmm. And crystal skulls, huh? I know you use the crystal skull, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Crystal is probably one of the best energies to use. Aside from the black mirror, as I said, you can program your black mirror for just about anything. But the crystals can also be programmed for different energies, and they're so readily available. So those are probably the favorite tools of people is crystal.
Okay. So, and I remember way back in the 70s, you couldn't get a natural crystal. If you're going to get a crystal ball, you had to get, I remember my first crystal ball was an Italian crystal, and it was a man-made glass.
Uh-huh.
And it was particularly challenging to learn how to read in the crystal ball. When you teach people how to read or scry in the crystal ball, what method do you use? Do you use the candle method, or what do you use?
Well, I usually do have them bring. Most people have a crystal ball or some form of crystal at home. I'll usually have them bring their own tool to use their own tool. You know, if they have a mirror, if they have a crystal ball, you know, they can practice with, looking at candle flames and, you know, it's like I said, it's pretty vague and difficult at times to teach. It was hard in the old days to get a hold of a really natural quartz crystal. So a lot of us had lead crystal, like you said something with Italian crystal. You know, really even the glass is fine, any reflective surface, except, you know, when you're working with natural crystal, quartz crystal, you know, it has an electric magnetic pulse in it. So, I mean, it's really magical anyway, and you will get your messages quicker. It'll be a little easier to read to me when I look in the crystal ball, a real crystal ball. It's very much like looking at a television set. After a while, you know, I just see little pictures, little scenes, and I interpret those pictures. You read any book on scrying, and they'll tell you, you know, the ball will cloud up, and you'll get these colors, and then the clouds will part, and you'll see this thing. I never saw a cloud in a crystal ball. You know, I never saw that. It never worked.
Oh, darn! That must have been a disappointment.
It never worked like that for me. Just one day I looked in and I was like, oh my goodness, there's something there, finally, you know. But it never worked like they said it would in the book. So, you know, I really encourage people not to always go by the book. I think one of the most important things is to love the tool that you use, to treat it with respect and caring, and if there's a good connection, eventually it'll speak to you.
Yeah, and I've had people ask me too, you know, what do you see? You know, like, I had somebody ask me one time when we were, with you were asking about a relationship, they go, well, do you see us naked? Have you ever gotten that?
Well, that sounds like a fun read.
Well, I kind of said, well, I see you from the waist up. No.
That good, yeah, what can you say? Yeah. Yeah, no doubt, Lady Brenda, as you know, this is a very, very fun business. It is serious, but it's got its fun moments.
Mm-hmm. And,
yeah.
And how do you, you know, sometimes the crystals or scrying stones have been used to, have you ever heard it called a peep stone?
I haven't, but I don't know what that is. Although, were I to guess, I remember many years ago they had these little stones that were round or egg shaped, oval shaped, about the size of a golf ball, and they looked like they had been tumbled. It was quartz, and then they'd slice off one end that was clear, and you could look inside. That's what I would guess a peep stone is, and it's very reminiscent of those little eggs we used to get when we were kids, you know, at Easter, the little sugar eggs, and they had a little seed inside.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would guess they are, but I really have not heard that term, but I haven't seen any of those for years.
I haven't either, and I remember seeing them, too, and what you do is you actually put your eye up to it. And look
looking
almost like one of those little, like, frosted Easter eggs, you know?
Yeah, and you look inside, and they were quite lovely, and they were around for a while, and then all of a sudden, they were gone. I had one, and I think I gave it to you know, one of my grandchildren. I haven't seen it since, so who knows? You know, but yeah, I really did like it. Is that really what a peepstone is? Because I would guess that's what it was, because that's the only thing I could think of, you know.
That's accurate. They're egg-shaped, but they were popular, like, in the 1800s, and they say that the Book of Mormon was written by this guy that had looked, his name John Smith, and he looked in the bottom of his hat, and he had a peepstone in there, and he saw everything in that.
Oh,
so it's pretty amazing.
I never heard that, although my grandfather's name was John Smith, but it wasn't him.
Oh, darn.
I'm not that old, but... But I'm glad to know that I do know what a peepstone is.
Yes. Now it has been revealed. So I'm curious, you had mentioned about the black mirror. I know I've created several black mirrors myself, but could you tell us a little bit about like how a person could create a mirror on their own and some of the stuff that would they can do with it to kind of empower it to, you know, for either healing or some kind of purpose?
I had a couple of classes a few years back in the making of black mirrors, and I find it absolutely fascinating. And we just used, the first time I did it, we used tar from the La Brea tar pits, believe it or not. We actually jumped over the fence and got tar because we thought it would be magical. But you can use kind of roofing tar or whatever. I usually tell people to go into maybe an antique store and get an antique picture frame,
mm-hmm.
and then they get, yeah, and then you would, you know, with it was pretty frame and the glass, and then, and antiques are nice because you can get something unusual,
mm-hmm.
and then the tar, you mix it with different magical elements that you want, like if for communication, you might want to put cinnamon, for certain healing modalities, you might put some different, you know, one time we made one that was magic, and we put the essence of woman and man in it. So we actually took breast milk from a woman.
Oh, my goodness. You know what, I think I heard about that.
Yeah, because we wanted the goddess energy, and she was a nursing mother, and we asked her for a drop of breast milk to put in the mirror for the mother, to represent the mother. And it was quite lovely. It was a beautiful ceremony. We, I'm embarrassed about this, but we had a cat, I had a black cat named Magic, and we snipped off a little piece of her whisker to put in the mirror because she was my familiar. She was, you know, one of my beautiful pets. And I'm embarrassed about that because later I heard that they measure with those. You know, so when they jump through fences, if they just touch their whiskers, they know that they can get through. So I probably messed her up quite a bit about hitting herself.
That must have been magical to put something in there. And that's how you created the magic mirrors, right?
And also we had a picture of John Lennon, and we burned it, and some of the ashes we put in our mirror, and we all sang Give Peace a Chance. You know, and we just, you know, it's pretty much whatever formula feels good to you. It's a beautiful ceremony. We did it under a full moon. Then we take the tar and we, brush it on the back side of the glass. And then we, maybe you'd put a piece of wood on that side. And then we left it out under the full moon to charge it. And they make wonderful, wonderful tools. And they're beautiful. And like I said, you can be very creative. It's like, you know, how do you make a stew? You know, what magic do you want in your mirror? You know, you can look up various herbs and various things that you want to do, like for healing, like I said, for healing or divination or...
Shamanist. So it's like a shamanistic thing, and it puts all the elements of the earth and all that into it, right? Now, you had mentioned in your bio that you were from a little bit of Native American descent. So did you get some of that from the Native American?
Not formal training, but my grandmother was Chimiwebi Indian, and she just sort of grew, I just kind of grew up around her, and she would talk about this stuff just in passing. I mean, it wasn't like she'd sit me down and say, oh, this is how we did this and that. She would just talk about, you know, spirits and things like it was the most natural thing in the world, And so I grew up just kind of believing all that. You know, she was. I look back and think, why, she was quite magical. Most of her other grandchildren thought she was absolutely Looney Tunes, but I adored her and loved her stories. And when she talked about spirits, I saw them too. Maybe that's why I knew that she was speaking truth, you know. So I kind of had a very, very high respect for this work for a very long time. Thanks to her, yeah. She was just kind of a magical person. But it, like I said, it wasn't separate from who she was. It mm-hmm. is who she was, you know.
So you had mentioned, and I believe this too, that scrying, especially crystal ball scrying, is an advanced form of divination.
I don't know if it's advanced, Lady Brenda, or if it's maybe the most primitive. I mean, this is probably the first kind of divination that ancient people did. You know, I can imagine people looking into a lake or a stream and seeing things and
or the smoke of a fire.
But advanced, yes, in the fact that it's. I feel maybe the most difficult type of divination. If you haven't done any type of divination, it might be hard to just jump into that, yeah, without any kind of background.
Mm-hmm.
So in some ways the most ancient and primitive, and in some ways probably the most advanced. You certainly have to be, I think, an advanced student of metaphysics to really be successful at it.
Right, well, we're always trying to get back to our basics. I guess the people back then, the hunter-gatherers or whoever it was that looked in those reflective surfaces, they were a lot more simple and a lot more open than we are now. I think we mess ourselves up.
Good point. I agree totally. Yeah, I think that that magic was believed in, that people didn't think it was strange, that it was just a natural course of events, that we used our intuition, our instincts, a lot more than, say, we do now. And so it probably a lot of people just think this is very natural and it was very easy for many people. But nowadays, this is the technical age. This is, you know, this is the time where we have to be reasonable and think, well, not me, but to most people.
Not you?
Not me either. We use that intuitive part of ourselves, and that's rather sad.
Yeah. You know? So, can you tell us about some of the most startling predictions that you've seen in your crystal ball?
Oh, well, the one that really stands out is, first of all, usually when I look in the crystal ball, there's somebody on the other side that wants to come in, or we talk about spirit guides, or, you know, so usually I use the cards for the predictive stuff, and the crystal ball is a whole different thing. Like I said, gets in the past lives, gets in. But in this particular time, I was reading a woman, and I looked into the crystal ball, and I didn't see something from past life or dead grandma or, you know, any of that. I actually saw a motorcycle fall over, and I looked in the mirror of the fallen bike, and I saw a young man. This was many years ago before you had to wear helmets, and his head was bleeding. So I asked her, who is this young man who rides a motorcycle and doesn't wear a helmet? And she said, well, my son. I said, you have got to go home and warn him because I see an accident and I don't know if he'll survive it. He must have a helmet. You must, you know, and I was going on and on. And she said, don't tell me anymore. You're scaring me. I said, my gosh, I want to scare you. I want you to go home and play this part of the reading for your son. I want you to scare the living bejesus out of him so he won't hurt himself. When this happens, it's going to happen soon. And I was just so certain. You know how sometimes you're just so dead certain about what you're saying?
Right.
Sometimes you're not, and you're pleasantly surprised when your prediction comes true. You know, not this type, of course. But sometimes I was just so adamant. And she called me like 2 weeks later and said, I was so frightened by that prediction. On the way home, I bought my son a helmet, had him listen to this prediction that you said. He got in the accident. He fell off. He broke the mirror, like you said, and the helmet had a dent in it, but he is fine.
Oh, that's awesome. I love to hear that. I love that. Validates our work.
Well, it validates our work, and it's what I really was impressed by is that this woman took it into her own hands, did not say, oh, this is crap, and her son didn't say, and she made him promise to wear the helmet and to just, you know, just humor me and wear your helmet. And you know what? I feel that she saved her son's life with that warning, that she did take action, that she did give me a little credibility about, you know, what I saw. And I really feel good about that. That was, I think, my most favorite thing. Another time I was looking in the ball, and my client was sad about the loss of her father, and I saw her working in a garden, and I said, oh, I see you in a garden, and I see lovely flowers. And she said she's planted her father's favorite flowers. And I said, and he likes the socks. I said, what the heck's with these socks? Because you know, Lady Brenda, we don't always know what we get. We get something that means sometimes nothing to us. So I asked, you know, but it would mean something to your client. So I said, what are these socks? And she said, oh, my God. She goes, I've been wearing his socks. And she missed him, so she's been wearing his socks.
Oh, how interesting. I know, you're right. Sometimes it's random stuff, but it all ties together.
It lets your client know that their father is really there, that he's given you a message to prove that, you know, that he's come through. And I think that's always so magical. I love that. Mm-hmm. I know you've had experiences like that.
I've had some. I think that some of my most, like, dead-on predictions have come from the crystal ball because I feel that it's pure. I mean, it's just, you can't look at it like you'll look at a tarot card and overanalyze it. See what I mean? It is what it is when you see it.
Yeah, and that, you know, I never thought of it like that, but you're absolutely right. It's pure is the exact word. It just shows up and you just know.
I like to tell people when they say, well, what do you see in that ball? I go, well, you know, it's a movie starring you.
Oh, that's very good. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
So, you know, and I like the point that you made about, especially the story about the kid in the helmet, because our readings are meant to be, you know, they counsel us, they prepare us, the readings, and the people come to us for that. So that's very interesting. So,
well, you've had this too, is people will come for a reading and they'll say, don't tell me the scary stuff. And it's like, if I don't tell you what I see, then how are you going to avoid it? You know, so I don't understand that. You know, I'm not their mom and I don't want to serve them pablum. I want to tell them the truth so they can make, as I see it, so they can make intelligent decisions, just as that lady did who warned her son. And so, you know, and I'd like to just say at this time that if any of your listeners go to see a psychic, just listen to what they have to say. You have free will. You can do what you want. But at least taking what they say into consideration, it could be very, very helpful down the line.
Oh, absolutely. I think that everybody would agree. The other psychics that are my co-hosts, you know, they would all agree with that. Because, you know, our work is very important to us. It's not like it's not like a pie-in-the-sky thing, you know. It's something that we take very seriously. So,
absolutely.
So tell me a little bit about your crystal skull. You have one, don't you?
I have a little one, and it's very nice, and I've had it a while. And it's kind of funny because the crystal ball, I can see in it. But when I have the crystal skull and I put it in my hands, this is going to sound funny, and I'm doing a reading, I'll usually put it in my hands and close my eyes, and I'll actually be more clairaudient at that time. I'll actually hear it say something to me as opposed to seeing something in it. And I don't know why that is. Maybe because it has a little mouth. I don't know.
It could be because they're known to talk. We had a show on crystal skulls, and I know that I have a bunch of them. I collect them, and I believe that they've all kind of told me their names.
Oh yes. So. Well, that's interesting because I didn't know that. It's funny because I've told that to clients before. When I have the crystal skull, it talks to me. When I have the crystal ball, I see pictures. And I never knew that they, and I made a joke, you know, to my clients, is I guess it's because it's got a little mouth so it talks. But I never knew that it, you know, that there was something that was normal for them. I do like my crystal skull. Because as you mentioned, I go to Europe every year to work, and I used to take my crystal ball with me, which is big, kind of like a big grapefruit or something, but big. And when I would go through, you know, the metal detector or the X-ray in my bag, they'd see this crystal ball, and they'd all start screaming, and they'd get scared because they didn't know it was all big. You know, it was like glowing.
And they stop you, and yeah.
Hunt me and search me, and, you know, I'm like an old hippie anyway, so that was no fun. But, you know, so I started about every other time I go, or every two or three times I go, I take my crystal skull because it's smaller and it doesn't give me that kind of a problem. I mean, but that crystal ball looks like a bomb. It's in the luggage
department.
Yeah,
it's like one of those things, those cartoon bombs. They put like a fuse
really
in.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of taping a little fuse to it, you know, but then I thought, no, I don't need this to be any worse than it is. So I like to take the crystal skull. It's a little smaller. People are always fascinated by it. Like I said, it talks to me, so it sort of gives me information in a different way. You know, it's fun.
So we talked a lot about the crystal ball, and we talked about the magic mirror, the black mirror, and tell me, have you ever done any scrying with smoke or fire?
Fire, yes, and candlelight, and of course I've done sweat lodges where we go in and we look at, you know, the glowing rocks that are in there. That, to me, is scrying, and I've seen a lot and had a lot of success with work in smoke, what do they call it, smoke lodges or...
No, smoke billets, too.
And smoke billets is great fun, and I often do it in circles. It's fun to do during Halloween is when you, and people can do this coming up Halloween in a few months, is just get a candle and get a, get a piece of paper and put it over the flame of the candle and keep it moving so you don't catch fire. And don't touch the wick, but just touch the top of the fire and you'll get a picture. And, you know, I'm not a really good, what I consider a really perfect Christian, but I'll tell you one time I made one of those and there was Jesus' face. It was clear as a bell.
Like Jesus' face in the tortilla?
No, that's the Virgin Mary. She's the one that shows up in the potato chips. And
I thought it was the face of Jesus. That's interesting. Yeah, the smoke billet, that's very Victorian. That was very popular back then, I think.
So fun, because anybody can do that. I mean, some of your listeners can do that just at a little party. And then you just pick up the piece of paper, and you'll see the smoke image like a picture, and you will see things. In fact, this is one of the exercises I do in my scrying classes to teach people how to see things. But, you know, when we were children, didn't you look up at the sky and look at the clouds and say, oh, there's a bunny, and, you know, there's a dog, and there's my mom. You know, I mean, we've all done a little scrying, whether we know it or not. And so when you learn a little bit about, you know, playing with the billets, or the smoke billets a while, you can find it much easier to see something in a crystal ball, because it's very similar like that. You'll see things like that, you know, images, hints of things, you know.
And again, though, these are your own personal interpretations. It can't be this.
Like I said, I don't think that reading somebody else's interpretations in a book is going to work for you. I really think, because of our life experiences, you know, if I see a tree, it might mean something entirely different than if you see a tree. If I see a tree in the crystal ball, it might be something with a family, you know, family tree. You know, if you saw something, it might mean something about that person's growth. It depends on what that means to you at that time, or the connection that you make with your client at that time. It's, you know, when you're giving a reading later, Brenda, it's one of the most intimate things in the world that you can do, is you're locked in with that client, and it's a beautiful connection, and you're going to get a symbol from them or around them or through them, and it's going to come through the crystal. And, you know, at that moment, it could mean something entirely different than what you're reading in some book that some person wrote 30 years ago. You know, that's their idea of what that means. That may not be yours. So always trust your own instincts about what those symbols mean.
Yeah, and there's definitely books and books written on all these different, like especially with tea leaves, because that's a form of divination too. Like
Absolutely.
Reading the
yeah.
tea leaves, reading the coffee grounds, and
too,
all that, which I believe you do the coffee grounds. What's it like reading and scrying with the coffee grounds?
Love it. I really, really love that. And, you know, you as you know, I don't even know if you remember, but you helped me a lot learning how to read the Turkish coffee grounds. And I prefer it to tea leaf readings because the impressions are clearer. You know, tea leaves are kind of, you know, they're lumpy and they jump around and there's a lot of water in there. But a good impression with a good, strong Turkish coffee, and then you get to drink that wonderful coffee, you know, it's much clearer. You know, it's dark, it's sticky. It really, you can get a good picture. And you helped me a lot with that when we were in Egypt a while back, many moons ago.
That was many moons ago. Well, we're going to pause for a one-minute commercial, okay? And we'll be right back.
We'll be fine.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Okay, we're back with Share Star Wars. We're talking about scrying, the art of scrying. I know you've heard of this. I know you've heard of Nostradamus and his predictions and how he went about. He did use a scrying tool, and one of those scrying tools that he did use was like a huge black mirror that he kept like in a closet. And have you heard of that? Cher, you've heard of his whole method of scrying, haven't you?
I really haven't, Lady Brenda, but I have heard that the black mirrors were very popular, and that Michelangelo, when he was painting the Sistine Chapel, would just exhaust himself, you know, laying on the scaffold on his back, and that he would have his black mirror, he would go into it and meditate a little bit and rest. And it was like equivalent to 4 hours sleep, and then he could come out of the mirror, so to speak, and get back to painting. So I'd heard that story, that it was a form of, you know, meditation and relaxation so that he can continue his work. But no, I didn't know that Nostradamus used a black mirror, but I'm not a bit surprised.
Well, that makes a lot of sense because it's... to go into it, because mirrors are doorways for to the spirit world. And,
too. You know, that's exactly what it feels like, and we didn't make that point. That's exactly what it feels like when you're doing a reading, when you're scrying, and you're going into the crystal ball or into the mirror. It's like Alice in Wonderland. You know, it is a portal into the other side, and that's exactly what it feels like.
It's a portal to the other side, and... the feeling, especially with the black mirror, is almost like you're sinking into it. It's pretty amazing. So I hadn't heard that about Michelangelo, and that's extremely fascinating. You know, he probably got a lot of his images and his art through there too. You know, from
never thought of that. He probably did. That probably helped a lot.
So, what would you for a person who hasn't used a divination tool or a scrying tool, what would you suggest that they would start with? Some little thing that they might start with to, like,
start out. You can find little teeny crystal balls, and I really favor crystal, but a little tiny crystal ball is nice, you know. You can find them very small, very inexpensive. They might cost $30, $25. That would be my favorite thing. If you absolutely have no money, and let's face it, who does now? You know, a bowl of water works nicely, especially out under the full moon. You know, some people have rings and a stone and a ring they could use. But I think that half the fun of readings are to be creative. If there's a certain something that catches your eye, it could be just even a crystal or a rock that you find in your yard that you polish up and use it. But if you use it, or a regular mirror, you could go find a little hand mirror, not the one you pluck your eyebrows with.
Okay.
Go and purchase just a mirror and put it in a nice little bag and use it only for scrying, for nothing else. That could even be very effective for you. You know, mm-hmm. but it's just practice and have fun with it. Like I said, I think too, working with the billets is very helpful. Smoke billets, very helpful. You know,
okay, so the smoke billets again are the little pieces of paper, an unlined piece of like white paper or parchment, and you pass it over the candle flame really, you know, like quickly, and then look and see what the patterns are.
Yeah, very quickly, or you're going to catch on fire. Yes.
Okay.
We've done that. We pass the flame, we've caught on fire. You know, we've done all that in my classes. Been there, done that.
Well,
somebody that will do that, but it's okay because it's all for fun anyway. You know.
Well, it's fun, and it also gives you a connection too. You know, with the super consciousness and the in all of the information and stuff. So. When people ask you about your work and they say, well, you know, how do you get your information? Do you believe it's from God? Do you believe it's from spirit? Or what is it that you tell them?
You know, I tell them the truth. I don't know where it's from. As long as it's positive and accurate and I'm able to help people along their path, I think it's from good source. I mean, it could be from my grandmother who's crossed over. It could be from God, goddess energy. It could be spirit guides. It could be my higher self. I once was wondering about that many, many years ago, and I was talking to a man. And he said, as long as you're using it for positive good share, then it's coming from a good source, and it's a gift, and just trust it. And you know what? That's pretty much how I feel about it, you know? I don't know if I could say I was blessed with a psychic gift. It doesn't feel like that to me so much as I'm blessed to be able to interpret some messages I get that can be helpful to people. And I feel very, very grateful for that. And so I don't always question the source. I know it's from a good place because it's positive. I've used it always for positive and higher good, and I'm not one of these people that believe there's a boogeyman and black spirits out there and horrible things going on. I mean, I'm sure they might exist, but if your heart's in the right place and you're doing your soul's work, I don't think those energies can invade your consciousness.
That is a really good point, because a lot of people have a lot of fear and misinterpretations about actual scrying tools, especially the black mirror, because it's very mysterious. It might have some kind of connotations of being evil or anything like that. And it's good for people to know that this is a tool in which information is passed to you from another source, from a higher source, right? I would consider it a higher source myself. It's definitely higher than myself.
One of the things, too, that I'd like the point to be made is, you know, that this is such serious work. You know, Lady Brenda, we've been friends many years. There's a lot of fun in this. You don't have to take this stuff all seriously. It's serious information. It's good work. But there's some funny things that happen. There's some joyous things that happen. It doesn't all have to be serious and, you know, calling down all these spirits. Sometimes you just go into the ball and just have fun and bring stuff out and share with your client. I mean, I think way too many people that don't know a lot about this type of work, take it so seriously. And I think that's what frightens people, you know, clients that they do. And I think one of the things that I have a reputation for is that I'm funny. I mean, I'm funny. I mean, I've cried with my clients. I've laughed with my clients. I've shown them stuff in the crystal ball. We sat there together looking at the cards. I mean, it is such a joy to do this work. I have never had a bad experience in 30 years of doing this. I never had a bad experience. And
that's good.
Fun.
I think that gives us a little peek. This gives us a little peek into, you know, there, and here on the show we talk about our work a little bit, but, you know, it gives us another dimension and a peek into it so people know, you know, kind of where we're coming from too. Now, part of what you do, and this has always fascinated me over the years, is you do something called the spirit circle. And I know you use your crystal ball in the spirit circle. What do you do in your spirit circle? Can you kind of give us a rundown of what happens in the spirit circle? Do you bring in a spirit when you do the spirit circle, or how does that work?
We'll sit in a circle, maybe 8 or 10 of us, you know, and I'll have my crystal ball, and we'll do this usually in candlelight. And I invite the people that come to my circles to invite their spirit guides in, whether they know them or not. Spirit guides know who they are, you know. So, you know, you just open your mind and heart to them, and they'll be there. And then we'll go around the circle and use the crystal ball or the cards or different forms of divination, and people will ask questions or give information to, you know, various people in the circle. And I think it works because I think working with group energy empowers, you know, the energy. And if everybody is sort of in that state of mind, boy, you can really get some magnificent and surprising things. And it is like working with, you have to picture like everybody in the circle, say there's 10 of us, you know, and there's 10 spirit guides probably with us as well. So it's they're usually great fun, but we get a lot of good information, and it's one of the most fun things to do, and it's with the group energy, it's almost like a party atmosphere, and yet it can be very serious too, because the information is so powerful, because you're working with so many guys, you know, and it's all concentrated. So
it
yeah,
is.
It's really
is
one
there,
of my favorite.
So has it always been positive, or have you ever gotten like something malevolent or something that's tried to come in that you didn't want to come in?
I've had that experience, but I really, I think if I don't, here's how it works for me. I don't give it a lot of credit. So when I feel something negative coming in, or I feel a bad vibe, so to speak, and I hate it when psychics use that word, but when I feel a bad vibe, I sort of just, you know, I hang tough. I'm a Leo with Aries ascendant, I mean Aries moon. So, I mean, it's like, you know what? I don't let anybody come in my space, you know. I think that if I were an alcoholic, or if I was a negative person, or I was a depressed person, I think that's when bad spirits or negative energy can come through if you have a little chink in your armor. But I'm very strong, I'm very healthy, and I won't acknowledge that negativity, and they pretty much stay away from me. Like I said, I've never had a bad experience. I do think that that if you are doing any form of divination, and you drink or use drugs, or you're a negative person, or you live in fear, or somebody else is controlling your life, it's very dangerous. I think that's when the negative energy comes through. You have to stay healthy, you have to stay strong, or you probably could be invaded by something negative.
Yes, I believe I read one time that the pharaohs, they used to say that you had to be physically fit in order to be spiritually fit. And that doesn't necessarily mean you need to be completely like ripped, but at least aware and in taking care of your physical body, your vessel that houses your spirit, in other words.
No, I'm completely ripped.
If I interpreted that right
joking.
From you, see what
yeah.
I mean?
No, I really believe that. I think you must be clean in body, mind, spirit, and because it is your temple, and you have to do the best by people. I mean, if I even have a sip of wine in the evening, I'm talking one sip, and somebody calls and wants a reading, I will not read them, because I believe so highly in not letting anything, you know, get in the way of something pure like a reading. I wouldn't do that to my client, and I wouldn't want any kind of, you know, bad experience for them. It's very hard, I think, for people to come to psychics anyway sometimes, especially for the first time. I only want to make sure they feel safe and accepted, you know, and have a wonderful experience with it.
Mm-hmm. And I get asked this a lot, and I'm sure you get asked this a lot, is when you do make contact with something in the crystal ball, say the spirit of someone who's passed over speaks to you, because, you know, there sometimes people come in and they inquire, you know, they want to speak to someone who's passed over, and you use the crystal ball to do that. Does it ever affect you physically after that, or do you ever have any kind of negative, like illnesses or energies from any of that?
I don't. It doesn't seem to zap my energy a bit. And, you know, my clients often ask me that, even when I'm doing the Renaissance Fair, you know, when you read cards for 10 hours during the day, they'll say, aren't you exhausted? Actually, it kind of gets you in a very high place because you're not there anyway. You're kind of in a different level of consciousness. So it never zaps me. In fact, it invigorates me. I love and am very familiar with working in the other realms. And it's a very safe and comfortable place for me to be. And what's hard sometimes is coming back into what we call reality.
We have to do that.
Isn't that awful? But, and you know, too, is after a fair or something, or after we've worked all day, after you eat, and then it's like crash, you know, then you crash or want to go to bed. But but usually no readings for me are a high. I love doing it, and like I said, I'm very familiar with the energies on the other side. It feels more real to me than this feels real, so I'm comfortable there. So, no, it doesn't zap me. And I always love to welcome people that want to come through for their loved ones, and it's just such a joy to do that. I don't see myself as a medium, but I've had some real success with that, with the ball, and I'll tell you, it's probably some of the most gratifying work that we do. To be able to give, like telling that woman that about her grandfather's socks. I mean, you know, how would I know that? But she knew that her grandfather was there because she's the only one that knew that. And so it gave confirmation that there is life on the other side, and that people still love us. The love never stops.
Yes, and the mediums that we have on the show, they like to, they say, like I believe that Steve has mentioned that the work of mediumship is validating the life on the other side, and that they're communicating with us. I like the way he put it, but I don't exactly remember how he put it. But I did like it was to me. It made a lot of sense, and I think it's interesting that
they call it proof of life.
And, yes, exactly, it's
very
interesting.
Popular in Europe, more popular than predictive psychic work, because of the British mediums are very popular, and they go to the other countries and work. I'm one of the few predictive psychics that work over there, because most of them are into the mediumship. You know, and if you see a medium on TV, they're almost always from Europe. Yeah, from England. They're very much into that, the spiritualism, mm-hmm. the mediumship, and it's very exciting. It's very exciting work, and it's very fulfilling. It gives people a lot of comfort, and it certainly is validation that life does not end at death. In fact, maybe it begins, you know, a different.
Oh, it's absolutely. I agree with that. That it's not an ending. It's a beginning. It's a step into the next. It's the next step. So your work in Europe, and you take your crystal ball over there, it must be pretty different then, huh, for them to experience those type of readings, huh?
For a while, you know, they didn't know what I did, and I had to, like, beg to work over there, because they didn't know the type of work I did, and so after I went over there and read a few people, they liked it, so now I have a pretty good clientele over there. They're very loyal. They're very nice people. I love them. I've learned a little German. I think the work is wonderful, but really, it's all the same. People all over the world want the same things. You know, am I going to get the job? Where's the love of my life? You know, is my son going to get out of school, you know, and get a job?
Or not go to jail? Oops,
so
I didn't say that.
Come out of jail. I mean, people are really the same all over, and it's very gratifying, you know. To be able to be in this work, you know, I feel so blessed and so lucky that this work found me. You know, I can't think of what else I could do that gives me so much satisfaction on so many different levels.
And I think that what you just said is that most of us, probably all the psychics that, you know, I know everybody here, the host of the show, is that the work found you.
Absolutely.
Because that's what it does. It finds you. You don't really look for it. It claims you, almost like cats do, you know? They make you their masters, you know?
Absolutely.
Or they're your masters.
Nothing worked until somebody handed me a tarot deck and then everything worked. And this is something I would have never thought. I always read about this stuff. I always enjoyed, you know, the esoteric, we used to call it, the occult in the old days. But that sounds like a scary word.
Yeah, that's what we used to call it, yeah.
And you know, and I've always studied it and I always enjoyed it. But I never thought it would be a career. I mean, somebody literally handed me a tarot deck and said, you need to do this. And when I turned them over, the magic happened. And nobody was more surprised than I was, you know.
Okay, well, you know what? We've really enjoyed talking with you tonight, and I want to thank you for joining us. We really appreciate your work and the fascinating insights about scrying. Have a great evening, Cher. Love you.
And I love you too, Lady Brennan. Do take care. Thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye. Okay, you can find more information about Cher's work at www.soothsayershare.com. .net. And I want to take a moment to make a few announcements. Be ready to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, not now, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you were unable to catch our last week's show
Crop circles.
Thank you, crop circles. And that wasn't that interesting. That was like, boy, you could just eat that one up. You'll find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all of our previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archives links and future show details to your friends and family. It's our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share that link with the others. And be sure to visit our psychic bloggers, www.psychicbloggers.com site to learn about subjects, everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. If you're interested in a psychic reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to www.psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you. And to find out more about them and to choose a list of some of the most authentic gifted psychics around, and it's an honor working with all these gifted psychics and with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each of us. All of the co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access. and if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com and we'd love to hear from you. And by the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute in every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, visit http://psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And if you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to the psychic viewpoint. There's something for everybody, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Okay, now the call-in number for later, not right now, for readings at the end of the show is 724-444-4851. And, you know, hold on to that for later. Now we're going to do our, what I like to call, we call it the bantering. So Maureen, how do you personally define scrying?
I don't know.
What's your personal definition of scrying?
You know, I wish I could pronounce it. No, scrying. I was speaking to my mother last night, and she goes, what's the show? And I go, you know, scrying, S-C-R-I-N. She goes, what? I go, it's been around for thousands of years, as long as you have. But anyway, You know, that is an interesting word, though, isn't it, though? I find it's an interesting word.
Trying, yeah.
Rather than pleasing or alive. You know, it is. Well, you know, I define it, the way I define this, and it's interesting because I kind of changed my perception about it last year because I experienced something else, but it works on the same principles as what is named, or to some, by the Gainesville effect, which I tried last, or a state of mind, which I did try over a year ago. So if it's almost like if you've ever had to sit in a corner as a child staring at a blank wall until you begin to hallucinate, which I had done many times, and have stories, patterns, or like images appear to you, that's kind of like what Gainesville effect is. So it's like staying awake in bed, and so it's almost like you were talking about that, or looking at the clouds. You know, you start seeing things. So for people that don't know what I'm talking about, the Gainesville effect, it's a German term. It's called complete. It means complete field. So it's a phenomena of a visual perception. So
I like that.
So it's caused by staring at an undifferential type of uniform field of color, and you have these ping pong balls on your, it's really trippy. So the effect is like described almost, it is, because I've experienced it, as a loss of vision as the brain like cuts off the unchanging signals from the eyes. So the result is like seeing back, like behind your eyes. And so it's like a blindness. So, but this has been reported since ancient times. So, as well as, it's interesting to look at it this way. And this is why I took a different view on how I define it, because miners, long time ago, well, any miners, trapped by accidents in mines frequently would report hallucinations, you know, and visions and seeing ghosts when they were, I've known of this, we're in the pitch dark for days. I mean, that kind of goes without saying. I think we all would agree, well, Brenda, you might agree with this, that this would happen. It's almost like, so the landscape of white snow for a long time also reported hallucinations as well, to get an altered state of mind. So it's fascinating. I don't want to go too much into the whole
thing. That is really fascinating. I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, that makes a lot of sense, because I think there's a meditation that, you know, to astral project where you do something like that, or you stare into this black dot. Until everything else disappears around.
Yeah, there is actually that. It's not the, but it's a concept. It's very similar. And you know, parapsychologists like Dean Radin, which we all, I respect him. I know Steve does. I know he knows him very well. He knows him. He's his best friend. But they yield some really unbelievable. They have done controlled studies to the degree that actually the evidence of telepathy is unbelievable from it. So. Yeah, that's the way I find into that.
No, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Thank you.
Now, Steve, how do you think scrying is possible?
Well, I think that spirit use any means possible to communicate with us. You know, it's interesting, Maureen mentioned Dean Radin, and he's a quantum physicist. And I find quantum physics really very interesting, because if you think of the concept of the field, or this enormous web that is interconnected, and the fact that we are each part of that great web, that organism, and everything in our world is part of that organism, everything is alive, then spirit can communicate through anything. I have a fascinating and very good friend who works a lot with crystals, and when I first met her a few years ago and she was saying to me that she can read from crystals, and also that faces and messages appear in crystals and stones to her, I thought she was crazy. But as I learned more about telekinesis, I realized that that's absolutely possible, and spirit will use any means they can to communicate with us. And I've seen incredible stones from my friend Linda with unbelievable messages in them, that she picked up one a while ago and she held it in her hand, and then a moment later it had my initials on it.
And ooh, I've seen, fascinating.
I've seen her hold a stone, and I've seen faces of people that I recognize. It's absolutely incredible. So we can read from anything, and I don't personally use a crystal ball, but I would like to get one. I have a very good piece of crystal quartz that I use for mediumship. And you can sometimes see things in that. And I'm particularly fond of crystals because I buy and sell quite a lot of crystal now through the Healing Center.
Hmm. Your crystal ball will find you. That's my prediction, Steve.
Thank you. Yeah, I won't look for it. I'll just allow it to come to me.
It will find you, and you will be good at reading crystal. You will be good at it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm excited. I really enjoyed the show.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad. So now, Bobby, we got to educate this guy. Bobby, what do you have to add? What do you have to add here? I want your 2 cents, honey.
Well, I've never read Crystal. I read for a girl named Crystal one time.
Oh, jeez, we don't want to know about that.
No, I'm sorry. It went very well. It was a very clear reading.
What is the full body reading? No.
Yes.
It was illuminating, wasn't it?
It was illuminating. Yes. No, you know, I out of everything that she talked about, you know how you do something for a while, and then it's only later that you come to realize that it has a name. So when I first started Reiki, because I'm a Reiki master, I didn't know that's what I was doing. I know that my palms had felt warm, and that I felt energy like pulsating through them, almost like. And it sounds kind of gross, but you know how little bugs move underneath your skin. It just kind of, you can just kind of feel
ooh,
it go.
Okay.
And so I didn't know what I was doing. But then when I came across this lady that was doing Reiki, she was explaining it. I'm like, oh my God, I do that. And then I started learning more about it and that type of thing. But all of the things that you guys were talking about, and especially looking at the clouds or the different things, designs and stuff that you look at when she's talking about putting ink in the water, and then, of course, towards the end, staring at a wall, I think, and then Brenda was mentioning, you know, everything else just kind of fades away. So I've done all of that, just not consciously thinking this is what I'm going to do to get a reading. It's spacing out or meditating in such a way, focusing in that particular way, that images come to you and such. And so I think it'd be interesting to try to do that consciously to see what you're getting rather than that just happening like a daydream. Otherwise, I've been doing that since I was young. I remember daydreaming in a sense of staring at something. Everything else just kind of fades away and you just kind of get lost in, like she was talking about, in the mirror. You know, you get lost in the picture. So,
wow, so you're kind of like accidental scryer.
The accidental scryer. That's my new title. Watch for it on Psychic Access. I will be known as the accidental scryer, yes.
Okay,
so,
well.
No, but it is very fascinating. It's another facet, isn't it, to all of this. I love her, by the way. It was a great interview. And, you know, to be quite honest, and I'm sure I'm not the first one to have said this, but, you know, her name at first was like, what? And then I went to her page and said, she has a lovely face and a lovely energy, doesn't she? She's got a really, it's just wonderful. So she was quite good.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm going to tell her that you're a big fan.
Okay.
Maureen, can you tell us what you found to be an unconventional tool for scrying?
Yes, I can, by the way, because of me being at the beach all the time. You know, I found a long time ago, you know when you pick up shells and you put it to your ear?
Oh, yeah.
And everybody think, you know, well, of course, it sounds, you know, it's cool, it sounds like the ocean, but really, in fact, it's really your blood flowing through, and I hate to bum everybody out, but flowing through the vessels in your ear. So I had done this, it used to come just automatically when I first got into doing my work, but even prior to that when I was a kid, but now I know why. I probably did more so than others. I always had them on my each ear, and I wore them to school and everything. No, but if you listen to the sound until you're in some, it's almost like you get in some sort of trance state, or I, at least, this is my experience. I'm not saying everybody, you know, it's just my, I'm just disclaimer, but you might be able to pick up like fragments of conversations. At first, you might only make out some, I don't know, like a few words or so, but if you really put some energy into it and discipline or developing it, you can come to understand complete conversations that predict the future. It's fascinating.
I'm going to try that. That's
yes.
Interesting.
I thought about you. You would probably find that very interesting. And you know, there's a couple other ones. Now, you two were talking about sweat lodges, and I was avid sweat lodger person because of my dear friend who's a American Indian. Okay, and she's the keeper of the stories, actually. She's a good friend. In fact, my father introduced me to her, and we also went and saw the Dalai Lama many years ago. But she had a sweat lodge here, her own personal sweat lodge here in San Diego. And so we did smoke. Scrying. Like crying. And this method is really unbelievable. And this is when I first really started hearing the word. No, she kind of didn't use the word much, but she did. But it's best done while relaxing in front of a fire. So, for instance, if you're in a, you've done sweat lodges before, yes?
Yes, I have, and I love
okay.
that.
Yeah, and you know, all the other interesting things about it. But we would particularly do, I did it a few times where it was, you know, it was like we directed ourselves with this. But you do not follow the smoke up, but you rather like allow the smoke to form patterns within your gaze is how you would do it. So I saw visions in future events, and I was like, wow, because I usually don't get things that well, but it was actually about the third time I'd gone in there within a 5-day period or whatever. But a lot of Native Americans practice a special type of the smoke way of doing it. So it's called sweat lodge, like I said, but the thing of it is people's sit naked.
You know, we didn't sweat naked. I wore a long flannel nightgown.
Well, that was probably really intensified, didn't it?
Became more
no,
well, that's not
but no,
naked.
But no, but she did for a reason because you want to get higher temperature, right?
Well, no, the flannel it would breathe, and so
oh,
you didn't get hot. It was just
that's craziness.
Like
okay.
I'm joking.
She's
how many
like
rounds did you do? Because I know in the sweat lodges you do like a certain amount of rounds.
Well, like I said, I was very careful with myself when I was first in there. So there were like 3 rounds, but I didn't do it. I was really careful because of my way I can go off the deep end. but with the combination, you know, like of the humidity and the levels of carbon dioxide is how it comes down to it. It will produce some state in which visions. Well, you've heard a lot of people about hallucinating, so this it can be dangerous. It can. That's what you're probably asking because you can only do it. It can be very dangerous, mm-hmm. especially if you're crazy good. But the one thing I find that works for me. And those things are just the unusual. I don't, you know, I've experienced them. But the one thing is what I've used were, by accident was looking at just a plain colored surface, whether it be a wall or a floor or even light colored furniture. And it happened at a time where I was doing a reading with my tarot cards. And I was, unbeknownst to me, actually staring at something that was shiny surface. It was a table that I had, and I went to some state of unbelievableness where it was. I don't need to get into it, but it was trippy. So I feel that works really well.
The reflective surface is
it's
probably
reflective.
The easiest.
Yes,
but I'm going to try that seashell thing. To me, that's so fascinating.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Wow.
Tell me about it. Yeah, so there you have it. Thanks, Brenda.
Oh, you're welcome. Now, Steve, can you tell us a little about your experiences with mirrors when you were a child?
Yes, I used to see faces in mirrors, but it was always my face transmuting into another face. So it's actually called overshadowing. I didn't know at the time, but when I studied with the spiritualist churches later on and did some trance mediumship, we were taught about overshadowing when the spirit draws really close and their face overshadows your face, so they start to take on physical form using your energy field, And so as a child, I would look in the mirror and see my face changing, and sometimes it would just change completely into the face of an old woman or an old man or even animals sometimes. It was quite scary at first, but interesting.
What were some of the images? Was it anybody that you knew, or do you think that it was...
Just different faces. Different faces. I can't say for sure that I recognized any of them, apart from I think once I saw my grandfather's face. But I think basically I was channeling, I was allowing spirit to overshadow me, but at the time as a child I wasn't really in control of it because I didn't know what was happening.
Well, one of the scariest things, I think, would be to look in the mirror at night.
I could never
all by yourself. Oh, I did it all the time. I loved it.
Like Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary.
The Bloody Mary. That was just like when you're a kid, you have to stand in front of the mirror. I could never make it five times or whatever you're supposed to do it.
You
want to
scare
yourself,
you're going to scare yourself, I'm telling you.
I'm telling you.
You're going to see something. What about you, Bobby? What do you have to add? You got to have to add something here.
I'm sorry, I thought I was adding.
Just the tune of Mary, Bloody Mary.
Yeah, we wonder about some of your experiences. Did you ever look in the mirrors?
I did. That's why I just said, yeah, when I was younger, we tried to look in the mirrors and stuff, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't stay there for long. I became quite uncomfortable. And it could just because that we were like right on the verge of... You know, when you're out, and you know this, Brenda, from ghost hunting and such, mm-hmm. You know, when you're on the verge of something manifesting, there's an uneasiness that comes. There's a, and it's not even fair to describe it uneasy.
The back of your neck loops up.
Right, you know, like the anticipation, or you just know something's developing, it's getting ready to manifest. And so there's that slight twinge that you get. And now, being older, you can deal with that, but I think... early on, you know, being younger and not understanding what it is I was doing, I would get that same type of feeling, but it would intensify, obviously, because I didn't know what was happening or what to do with it, and so I never stayed to figure out what would happen, and I don't know, even to this day, I don't know that I would do that, even knowing what I know and doing what I do, I don't think I could stay in front of a mirror for very long. It just makes me very uncomfortable. Isn't that weird? You know, because I've been in crazy situations. You know, I talked about how I've been in, you know, the cellar of you know, John Wayne Gacy and you know, these people's houses. You know, Jeffrey Dahmer. I was in his crawl space.
Oh,
you know,
really? Oh no,
I really was.
Creepy.
Oh, it was crazy. That's what I'm saying. But yet to stand in front of a mirror gives me that same type of feeling and to where I know I would walk out unless it was for a TV show. But, you know, it's just weird. So I'm not sure. It's weird. I don't know, man.
We should all do it. We should go to Dahmer's and look in his mirror. No?
Oh, Jesus, man. I'm telling you, that was crazy. That was crazy times. When I did that show, there was just some odd places that they put me in. And one of them was even a gas chamber. And,
oh, no.
Yeah. So wow, and that was still used. I got some crazy EVP off that.
Are you okay, Bobby, from doing that?
I'm fine, thank you, Maureen. Why?
He
why
still has nightmares.
Twitch.
Why? Got his little. He has to have his blanket at night. His little blankie
and my poo teddy bear.
Yeah, and I bet you really have one too.
Fluff and stuff and everything. I can sing the song.
My son's okay, my son. Whatever.
Okay, we have come to the part of the show, yay, where we will be taking your calls and questions. You can either call in or ask your question in the chat room. However, we do have to take the call-ins first due to their wait time. The call-in number for your free reading is 724-444-4851. Again, the number is 724-444-4851. And, you know, be aware that each call will be automatically placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. Please relax. Listen to the show while you wait. Be very clear and direct with your question, and we can really only take one question per person, as this will allow for us to take all the calls waiting for a reading. Okay, Bobby, you're up first from Wisconsin.
Hello, Wisconsin. Who's there? Hello, how are you? I'll start with the last question first. I believe that somebody else will come into your life. I think that you'll have somebody new. But the thing that's holding you up, and see, this is why sometimes I don't like answering, will I go back to my ex? That's totally up to you, isn't it? You're gonna either make the decision to go back to him or you're not, and whether I see that or not can really affect the outcome. Do you see what I mean? Like if some psychic guy tells you, yes, you're going to go back to your ex, and then you're thinking, but I don't want to go back to him, or you know what I mean? And then so many decisions are based off what I say rather than what is supposed to be. And so I don't – right now, I don't think that you'll go back with your ex, but I think part of the reason why you're asking that – from what I'm picking up on you, there's still a big connection there with him. I agree that putting you two in the same household isn't the best for you. It becomes defensive. It becomes like each one has to feel like they have to justify themselves or explain themselves to the other one. And it just, both of you just become very defensive about each other instead of more allowing each other just to be who you are. Do you see what I mean? And when it's like that, obviously you can't live that way. And that would be something that if you did get back with him, that you two could totally work on. Because that's a miscommunication type of a thing. That's one person putting out an energy that makes the other person feel like they have to defend themselves or not understood. You know, you feel like you're misunderstood in many situations. And he feels the same way. So that I totally can be worked on, and that's up to you. Again, if you guys want to get back together and try to work on that, if you have the tools, if you know what's going on, you know what I mean? It can take a lot of work, but not impossible. So I think that because you're still connected to him the way that you are, it's throwing you off as far as wondering if you're going to go back with him or you're going to meet somebody new. So what I would recommend is that you do a little more work on not continuing to look at past relationships, but more looking forward. In other words, what is it as you start to think about you and the type of love that you want to have? What kind of relationship do you want? You figured out a lot of what you want from this relationship that you had, and I keep going back to him because it you learned so much from him. I'm not even paying attention to the couple of guys that you mentioned afterwards. So I think that you'll find some enriching stuff in that first relationship that you mentioned. You know that you want somebody who understands you. You don't want to have to make an effort at being yourself. You don't want to have to try to claw through that. You want to stand as an individual and have somebody recognize you for that. Do you see what I mean? So you focus more on what it is that you want and the type of guy that you want in your life, and then that's when you start drawing to you some more of the beneficial relationships. And somebody new coming into your life who will match that. And then I think, again, if you do make a decision not to go back to your first husband or your little girl's father, I think you'll understand more. You'll realize that it's okay to love him the way that you do, and that you did learn all of this, and that it's okay to move on. Maybe it is just best that you both just kind of move on like that. Do you see what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yes, that makes perfect sense.
So I would love to see you, again, I would love to see you looking forward. Not that you, again, I just want to make it clear, not that you couldn't go back to him, but you're changing. You know, you're really expanding and have done so in these past 3 or 4 months, have done really, really well, and that's great. You're stepping out of that old shell, the memory of who you used to be. And you know how sometimes when you get with people, you act differently? You know, there's some people that you like yourself around, and then other people are like, God, every time I'm around her, I'm such a bitch. Or, you know, that's just not me. Have you ever done that? Right. So I think you're really coming out of that. In other words, you're really finding yourself, who you are, not who you are with other people, but who you are, period. And so I love that feeling, and moving forward from here could be nothing but good. And give it just probably about another month, maybe a little over a month, and I think you'll draw somebody really nice to you and into your life, somebody new.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for calling in.
All right. You have a good night now.
You too. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Bobby.
Welcome.
Maureen, we have another from Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Hello, this is Maureen.
Yes, hello.
Hi, and what's your name?
My name is Selena.
Selena, I think I got... Well, hi there. And what can I focus in on for you?
Well, I'm kind of hard. I have two things that have really been bothering me, and they have to do with my children and my relationship-wise, like with men. I have a problem with a special person, and then with my children, I've had a lot of issues with my children, so I'm kind of battling both of those right now.
You know, I'm having... Your phone's breaking up. Are you... If you're on a cell phone, I'm having a hard... I wasn't able to get much of that. Well, you just... I'm really sorry, but I... Are you on a cell phone?
Yes. I'm asking about my children.
Okay.
And with my children and my love life, those are two things that I'm battling right now, and that I really have questions about.
Okay, you know, I can only focus on one because of our time restraint in this venue with what we're doing. So if there's one particular, so that way I can help you better with one, right? Because for both I wouldn't be able to.
Okay. Like with my love life, I guess that I'm wondering like what you see as far as my love life. Like I've been seeing a couple guys, and I don't know if any of them are right for me.
Okay, so you're not lacking in options. Okay, that's nice to know.
Oh.
Okay, so I'll see what I can get from that. So you do have there. You said a couple as in two, right now that you're not. I got you. I think I got it. You know, one of them I particularly don't feel is a very positive person. And this one looks like he's darker hair, not real dark in the face, but dark hair, and he feels like. And I'm not saying this what he does. He's militant. Policeman energy, like, and he looks like he can rage with his temper. And you would, on a good note, which I see him right now not being so much so, he's more on the raging note, but on a good day, he would be very aggressive. And he likes to tell everybody what to do and all that. And he's just, let's put it this way, I don't feel that you feel good around someone like that that is so tormented. So, with that said, I'm just thinking about you. There's two of them. I do, and I also feel you have somebody around you that interferes with anything to do with any relationship that you might be opened up to. My feeling, and what I'm seeing is this: neither one of those, one particularly, I would say just run, get him out of your face if there is that energy of the temper like I'm getting. But I also see you pursuing like a student or learning something. I'm not saying maybe in conventionally speaking, but putting your energies there. And I feel that what I'm getting is by doing so, and I see you getting more rested from doing so, finding that more knowledge of some sort, you're going to be opened up to someone. I can't see the face or particularly, but I see you being liberated. It will be a whole new feeling, I think, almost like taking a break from... I'm not saying you can't force people not to pursue you, but I'm just saying I feel that there's something much more better for you coming up after September.
Okay, but I haven't met this person yet.
No, I don't feel you have. But I do, but I'm also getting that you look like you're very happy during the month of it looks like you're very, very happy. A lot more so than you ever could even know, because it's different.
And that would
okay.
be when?
Pardon me?
And that would be when? I look very happy when?
It's around late August, September. You look like you're extremely having fun, sharing, and communicating. I'm not seeing the face, right? I'm not going to say I do when I don't, but I do feel that this person and you both have shared some intense pain from past relationships that you can understand to get. It's not like you talk about it all the time, but it's not either two of the... I don't see those two people that you were thinking about being a part of the situation to your best interest anyway, or what you're worthy of. You know, I just see something much more, much greater potential with somebody else. And like I said, it just looks, but I do see you focusing on something to do with knowledge or schooling of some sort, learning something. focusing on that, and everything will just kind of, maybe that's how you'll meet some, I'm not clear, but it's very positive. But not with these two.
And you don't know exactly where I'll meet this person you're saying? You're feeling
no, I'm not clear, but I am seeing you like learning or going to something to learn like a student would, but maybe you're not in a classroom, but somehow maybe a workshop. So I'm not clear, but maybe it may be like that. I'm not clear on where you will meet him, but I do feel there's somebody, but you feel like much more rested and your batteries are recharged and you're healthier to be connecting with a healthy person too. Okay?
Could be a person that maybe is for a long term or a short term, maybe?
Well, it's up to you. I think that it'd be worthy opening yourself up to maybe thinking it might be worthy of, you know, putting some vested energy into it. I see it feeling very liberating. You feel a sense of freedom around this person. It's good. It's very good.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I hope I helped you.
You did. Thank you so much. You have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Maureen. That was good.
Yeah, sure.
That was really good. Well, I want to announce the number to call in again. Please be very clear and concise with your questions. The call-in number for your free reading is 724-444-4851. And if we do have time, we can, you know, after the calls, we can take questions from the chat room. So if you have a question in the chat room, you can put it up there. Again, the number is 724-444-4851. Okay, Steve from Wisconsin, you're on.
Thank you, Brenda. Who's calling from Wisconsin?
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
My name is Michelle.
Hello, Michelle. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Very well, thank you, Michelle. How can I help?
I was wondering if you could give me some information on where you see my future of career or where and when if I'm going to be starting a new career.
Okay. Well, what I sense for you, firstly, is I'm drawn to the winter time, so I feel that there's a change and an opportunity for you this winter, but I feel that you're quite undecided about what it is you want to do. So my guides are giving me a sign that says you haven't made a decision about the direction you want to take. I know that you are wanting to increase your income, and I know that that's always important, but I don't feel that you've got the right vision yet to secure the opportunity that you might like. Have you reflected on exactly what it is you want to do?
A couple different things, yes.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I feel that's what I feel. It's almost not decision time right now, but I feel that during the summer, you need to really make a decision about the direction that you're going to take. It's almost that's the trigger for you, really. I feel that things will unfold just fine once you make that decision, but it's almost as though making that commitment to the direction you want to take is the part that really makes the energy kick in. Do you have
okay.
some connection with... Well, I feel actually that you... Let me see... I feel as though your direction is related to people. Like, I see a connection with the community and people generally, and I don't see you working in a large organization moving forward. I see more a choice to really go your own way, but I don't feel as though you've made the decision about the direction you want to take. Would you like to work for yourself?
Yes, kind of, I would.
Yeah.
That's what you're seeing, myself working with people, or...?
I see you working for yourself, and I see you working one-on-one with people in the first instance, but I feel that before you take that step, you need to be really clear what your proposition is, because working for yourself is wonderful if you're really clear where your strengths lie and you're really committed to the path you're taking. because we sense each other psychically, and clients sense how committed you are to your path, how confident you are in your path. So if you're a little undecided, it comes across. So it's very important that when you step on that path, you've got real clarity about the direction you're taking. I feel as though you have some kind of healing abilities, but I feel that you need to decide on your path and really study, you know, just commit to the direction you're taking and really invest in the next 6 months in studying and really learning about that direction so that you feel ready. And I feel that you will towards the end of the year in the winter time.
Okay, so once again in the winter time is where you're thinking that in the winter time I'll come to a decision.
I feel that you'll come to a decision in the summertime, but you really need to reflect about what's going to give you most passion, what you'll be most committed to, because that's what your clients will feel. And if you're working for yourself, that's really important. You know, when you're in a large organization, you can kind of hide, but when you're working for yourself, you can't. You are the business, and your results depend upon your clarity and your commitment to the path you're on. So it's really important that you define that. And also, it's important that you distinguish yourself. How would you differ from other people on a similar path? What's your speciality? Why would people come to you rather than someone else? But I do see you working for yourself. And I feel that if you make this decision in the summertime, you can work yourself to the right transition point in the winter. Okay?
Okay. Well, thank
I wish you,
very
you lots
much.
Of luck.
Really
it's a wonderful
helpful.
Journey to take.
Okay.
Okay. Well, good luck.
Okay. Thank you so much. You have a good evening.
You too. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Steve. Okay. The next call is for me from another inquiring mind from Wisconsin. Hello, Wisconsin.
Hi
there. What can I do for you tonight?
I was just calling again. I'm sorry.
Okay. What do you need?
Oh, I was just calling. Something that was bothering me that I wanted to just ask about my oldest daughter. I'm going through a court proceeding with her. She's out of my home at this time, and I'm just trying to figure out what the best decision is to make for her future. I guess I was going to court to, you know, figure out if she was going to come home with me, but apparently I don't know if that's going to happen at this point. So what I'm kind of asking is, like, what do you see in the future for me and my daughter's relationship? Like, you know, what do you see?
Okay, let's take a peek. You know, right now I feel that there's conflict around it, and it could be the best thing for her to, you know, be somewhere else for now, because there are a lot of things like what's going on and the truths and in some of the, you know, it's unclear, in other words. And I do see that in the next 3 months it's kind of out of your control. So, and I also see that there's money involved here too. Is this a custody thing?
No, they're actually, well, because I have 4 children, and this is just the last of the ones that I'm going through for a TPR, and they live in a foster home.
Hmm. Well, I have to say that, you know, for right now, I feel the separation is something that needs to happen. It's not to say that she might not come back at another time, but I really feel that circumstances around it, especially some finances around it, are preventing her to, you know, from being with you right now. She will be okay. I feel that you know, the path that the universe has chosen for her is a little bit difficult, but I really see a light at the end of the tunnel for her. How old is she right now?
She just turned 12.
Yeah. And she's strong, actually, for a 12-year-old, she's strong, and she sees a lot more than you think that she does. I'm also seeing that I see some unfairness in the judgment surrounding this. It feels like, you know, it was definitely unexpected. You're wanting something, some other result, and it feels like you're fairly shocked with what happened. And, you know, but in the big picture of this, it's kind of happening for a reason. Is she going to a different home right now?
She's the lady that she's in the foster home with wants to adopt her.
So, how do you feel
I was trying to do like a guardianship, and I guess what I'm trying to figure out is it in my daughter's best interest? Does she want to be with me? Do you see that, you know, she wants to be here and she can't, or if somebody's telling her something, or, you know, I guess I'm just trying to figure out her feelings because she doesn't really tell me too much, and it's kind of hard to read her.
It feels like she's, first of all, I feel that she's kind of open to what's happening right now. She's kind of resigned to it. I do believe that someone's told her that this is what's going to happen, and she's accepted it. That's what I see. That's the hidden thing around this. Yeah.
Do you have no feelings towards me?
She feels powerless. I feel a man has talked to her about this, and he may be in the form of somebody like the counselor or somebody of that nature, but it's nobody that's like a blood relative.
That's actually done what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
That's actually spoken to her about this, but he's not a blood relative. I don't see that he's a blood relative. He's somebody who's in this, you know, in this process here. So she feels like she has no choice, so I feel she's resigned to this.
What does that actually mean, though? Like, she doesn't, she's immune to it, like, she doesn't really care what happens?
No, she feels that she has to do this. She feels that it's something that she's been told she has to do. Yeah.
Oh, so she might be opposed to living where she's at, but she's told that she has to do this.
Exactly.
That's what you're saying? Gotcha. Yeah. That's what I've been thinking, too. I've been thinking that something's been kind of like, does it seem like she's brainwashed in a way, or?
I feel that she feels powerless. She feels like she's just has to go along with this. And in as far as the relationship between the two of you, she's not feeling betrayal so much as sadness because things didn't work out.
So she's okay with it?
She's sad. She would like to stay with you, but she's been told she can't. That's exactly where it's at.
Gotcha, because I've been thinking that, too. I've been really strongly thinking that somebody's been telling her that she can't live with me, you know, and I've been jumping through hoops, and it's been really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been at the end of my ropes trying to think of what the logical thing is to do, and, like, I was wondering if it is in her best interest to do guardianship with this lady. You know, I don't know if that's in, am I going to be able to still see my daughter if I do that, you know?
I feel you're going to be able to, and I feel that it's a slow road getting back, you know, into her heart again. I feel it's worth a try, but she's in a place of kind of confusion now, and she's not communicative. I feel that the break, like I said in the beginning of the reading, is actually a good thing for now, a cooling off period. Maybe this is what I see coming out of this. She's going to come to realize that she had it good when she was with you. So at some point when she can choose, she'll choose to go back with you. Anyhow, we've got to move along, my dear. So I hope that helps you.
Okay, that's fine. No, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Okay,
right.
Bobby, California.
Hola, California. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Who am I talking to?
My name is Tanya.
Okay, Tanya. What can I do for you?
Well, I guess, I hope it's not too cliche, I'm wondering about romance.
It's totally cliche. Hang up the phone now. No, that's fine. Of course, it's a big part of our lives, isn't it? So what do you want to know about it? Do you have a more of a specific question for me? Are you in a relationship? Want a relationship? Have somebody? What?
Want a relationship? Don't even have anybody that I'm like, even intrigued with. Like, I just feel like I'm in a desert.
You know, earlier we talked about a Winnie the Pooh teddy bear. You know, less argument. They listen all the time. You know, and there's no argument or talking back. But if you don't want to do that, you know, I'm just teasing you, right? Okay, Tanya.
Okay,
so,
I thought that was,
if you don't want to do all of that, you know,
companion like that, but she talks back all the time.
Does she? Right. So, so this is where I take a look at you and see, you know, what the heck is wrong with you and why aren't you in a relationship? And as I'm taking a look, the only thing I sense, I don't think there's anything wrong. You know, I sense a little bit of sorrow, a little bit of sadness, and to try to discern that a little bit more, I think it's mixed in with whatever relationship from the past, but it also feels a little bit of just being lonely now. So I think there's kind of a mixed sadness here. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
And so we have to drop that, and we have to move on and feel what it is that you feel about yourself and what it is that you feel about a relationship. If I mentioned to you, if there was a guy that came to you tomorrow and introduced himself to you, frankly, right now it feels like you'd be a little overwhelmed. Like it feels like you might be a little shy against that. So then you have to take a look at that core and understand why is it that you would react to something like that. Do you know what I mean? Like people who can be overpowering or people who are giving you compliments and such like that, I don't know that there's a lot of that you feel in some circles, I think, in some ways about yourself. I don't know that there's a lot of self-worth there. In certain parts, in other areas, I think you have a lot of self-worth. But do you see what I'm saying? Where, again, if somebody just came up and introduced a smile and said, okay, let's be in a relationship, I think you'd be like, okay, wait a second. You know what I mean? Like you're holding it off in just a little bit. Does that sound familiar?
Hesitant. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind taking it slow.
Well, no, yeah, I mean, I'm not.
It would be nice to at least have somebody, like, calling me or something.
No, I know, yeah, and we want to start slow. But I guess what I'm saying is just the appearance of a relationship or a man in your life right now just feels uncomfortable to me. That's what's holding this off. That's my point, is that you're staving off, you're kind of averting away just a little bit from people coming up and introducing themselves to you. It appears to be a little standoffish. It appears to be just kind of in your own world and not approachable necessarily. So these are the things, again, that they're showing me that I want you to be aware of why is it that you're not attracting the person to you. You're very attractive, from what I can feel. You have a very attractive energy, and I think that there's no reason why somebody nice wouldn't come up to you, but you're giving out just a subtle energy of not being approachable. Do you see what I mean? And so from all of that, that's what you want to try to let go of. You want to try to come out of that shell just a little bit more. I think that you'll meet, for you, it's not a matter of meeting 10 guys and picking one that is good for you. I think for you, it'll be just enough that you will meet one person and then that'll be a really quality type of relationship. So I think you're looking at more quality than quantity. And if you start to look a little bit at what we talked about tonight, and I know that we don't have a lot of time to go into it, and I so apologize for that because I don't want to leave you hanging. But at the same time, look at those things that are holding you back that I mentioned, okay? And there's no reason, there's no other reason that I can see right now of you being bitter or angry or anything like that. There's nothing holding you back from having a relationship other than just those qualities that I mentioned. You just have to open your heart up a little bit more. You have to be willing to allow someone to come in. Taking it slow is just totally fine. I was just using that as an over analogy just to let you know where you're at right now. Do you understand what I'm saying?
So is he here or do I have to leave? Am I in the wrong geography?
No. Honey, you don't have to do anything. Don't do anything. You stay where you're at. You're supposed to be here. Okay, just now. Leaving may come in a couple of years, you know, with job and things like that. You may end up moving, but don't leave for any guy. Don't leave for a relationship just now, to find one anyway. Stay where you're at, focus on those things, and then moving forward, then you'll meet. I don't believe that he's here just yet. Sometimes I'll get the feeling like they're already in your life, and you just need to focus on that a little bit more. But I don't believe he's here just yet. But I think if you pay attention, those things that we said.
Hello.
Okay, are we back? Oh,
yes, we're
Maureen,
back.
Maureen, Texas, honey. Someone from
Thank
Texas.
Thank you. Hi, Texas. This is Maureen.
Hello?
Hi. This is Maureen. What
Hi.
Can I help you with?
Hi, yes. Are you talking to me?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I am talking to you from Texas. Yes, okay. I am.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, like, about if you need any information from me.
No, because the time restraint I have, I don't have a lot of time. So if it could just be a direct question, I can help you a lot better with what I can with the time we have.
Okay, I was wanting to know if you saw anyone, like, coming into my life, like romance. Level.
Romance. Got it. Okay, so there's nobody, I want to make this clear before I get into this. There's nobody on your mind that you're already thinking about that you know that's already around you, is there?
Yes, there is. It was an
okay.
And,
so you want to know if this individual and you may have an opportunity to step into a more serious stage. Is that what is really going on? So I know?
Correct.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay. It makes it easier for me to help you, and you know. Okay, this is what I'm getting. Is this person, there's incompletion regarding the situation. Is this person recently no longer, or getting out of marriage stuff?
Oh, are they married again?
No, are they out of a marriage, not, you know, divorce?
Like, he just got remarried to some lady like a few months ago.
Okay. You know, this is a thing, this is what I'm seeing. This is no good. And there's incompletion between you two, but I think that's something that you're going to need to deal with, you know, like completing it, meaning then you open a new beginning. I do see another gentleman, because I do see one who looked like somebody that was maybe a married or whatever, and now you told me he just got married. You deserve to be involved with somebody that is completely free. I do see another person here around in the next 2 months. He looks like he has really interesting eyes, light eyes, and he looks like it's coming from an area where it's kind of colder, like there would be snow on the mountains, Colorado or something, I don't know. He might fly into the picture, or he travels, and I feel really good about him, and he's very sensitive. And he's honorable, and he'll be like wanting to court you, like a gentleman. And it's very positive. It does look like you're going to be having a hard time sleeping with the person I think you know, but who's been married now. That hurts. I see someone really positive and healthy coming into the picture. I think it would be, I mean, there's a lot to look forward to, because this is what you want. I think you know what you don't want.
Yeah, like, how do you see me meeting him, or do you see someone like...
I'm not clear on that, but it looks like he flies in, but if there's a real strong psychic community, there's a real strong psychic connection between you two. I'm not getting all hokey-pokey on you and, you know, hocus-pocus, but I just feel that it's very positive. But this will be good, and you need to be... I would keep myself open to this. Now, I do see that this man that you're talking about, the one we were talking about earlier, he is not going to make any changes right now. It will be left in incompletion. I feel that you need to complete this so you can have a new beginning for your life. It's going to be difficult, but I see so much great. I see you really happy down the line, like by the January even. Opening up to someone who's not attached to anybody, who's healthy, and is really treating you well. I see he looks fantastic, really. And you need to be open to him. Okay.
Is he like Caucasian? You know, like what he looks like besides the light
eyes?
It
looks like he has lighter eyes, bluish eyes. Now, it looks like not black hair, but blue, lighter eyes. And he's very kind and gentle. And he's very sincere, and he's you can trust him. He may not be like anybody you've ever really wanted to go for, but you're breaking the pattern, which is good. This will be what you desire, and it'll be kind of scary at first, but it's good. Okay?
Is he like moving here, or is
I see that he flies, and he like maybe travels a lot. Maybe he might be around your business. I don't know. He looks like he might travel, but I do see him very clearly. He's very positive. Okay, I'm sorry. I need to cut it short because we're running out of time. But you can always visit us at psychicaccess.com. But this is very positive. Open yourself up to this. Okay, you deserve it. A good relationship.
Okay, what time do y'all close at?
We're 24 hours. Round the clock.
I'm talking about the Thursday one.
Oh, pretty soon, like in a few minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Thanks, Maureen.
Sure.
Okay, Steve, California.
Thank you. Who's calling from California?
Oh, hi, my name is Amelia.
Hello, Amelia. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing great, thank you, Amelia. How can I help?
Well, I'm an artist, and I have been doing graphic design for a living for the last 17 years, mm-hmm. and it no longer excites me. And so I turned to fine art to try to earn an income, and that has gotten me very little. And I'm kind of lost. I'm not sure which direction to go in. And I'm wondering if you can give me direction on which way my career should go to bring me the most fulfillment and income.
Well, my first response to you, based on what I really feel, is don't feel that you, in your case, you don't have to choose just one thing. You're very talented, very creative, and you have this great artistic ability, but you also have a good understanding of the business world and commercial needs when it comes to design. You also have a very strong intellect. So my guides are saying, don't put yourself in one bucket. You don't need to pigeonhole yourself in your case. Some people do need to commit absolutely to one path. But I feel that you can combine these things. You can do the fine art. You can do the graphic design. But I also feel that you would be a wonderful teacher, because my guides say you've got a very sharp mind. You've got a great way of communicating. You're very patient with people. And I feel that you can combine them. I feel that you can make money from graphic design. You have a tendency to, or you have a tendency to undervalue yourself. So you don't necessarily charge as much as you should for your graphic design work. And I feel that you should be more selective, more choosy really about the projects you take. Because if you're smart about the graphic design, you can make some good money without having to put all of your effort into graphic design. You can have the time for your fine art, at which you're very talented. And I feel also you could do some teaching and some speaking as well. Where are you located?
In California, the Bay Area.
You are in California. Because I feel that that's the right area for you. I do feel that you need to explore. I don't know California well. I'm not saying you need to relocate, but my guides are showing me an arrow pointing southwards. It's as though there are contacts and opportunities further south for you, but I don't feel that therefore you need to relocate, that you're in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I don't feel that you should give up and switch paths. I feel that you just need to diversify a little and engage in projects that are really lucrative for you without committing completely to graphic design or teaching, but stay committed to your your artistic talents because you're amazingly creative. I see painting. I see even oil painting, actually, with you.
Yeah, that one I've had a hard time with. I haven't oil painted since college, so.
Well, I do. My guides are showing me oils. They're really clear. I'm seeing a large oil painting. I feel that you'd be very gifted with oils. But I can't talk much longer because we need to end the show. But if you want more insight, then contact one of the readers on Psychic Access. Look at the profiles and see who you feel is most able to really tune in and help you get into more detail on the right direction and when the energies are really auspicious for you. Okay.
All right. Yeah, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, and last but not least, I have a call from California. Hello?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. What can I do for you this evening?
Yes, who am I speaking with?
This is Lady Brenda.
I thought it was you. I wanted to say thank you, Lady Brenda, for being there for me on Tuesday. I've been listening to your show this evening, and I just wanted to...
Ah, it's Deborah. Hi, Deborah.
Hi. I wanted to just say it's been an amazing show, and I just wanted to express my sincere gratitude and love to you. And
thank you.
Thank you so very, very kindly for always being there for me.
Oh, you're welcome, honey.
And I guess that's all I really wanted to say because I haven't had a chance to write anything down. And you know what the situation is. And, of course, nothing has changed at the moment. But I just wanted to say thank you. I think you are incredible, beautiful, giving, and you were so gracious with your time.
Oh, you're welcome. Oh, you're going to make me cry. Well, listen, my message for you, honey, is to stay the course. Keep doing what you're doing, and you are the strong person. And the way you are, your reflection in the relationship is going to be your strength. In that way, it comes full circle. You can't collapse into this. You have to remain strong, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You take good care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, Brenda, that was a lovely end to the evening reading.
That was very nice.
And you're deserving as you are. Yes.
Oh,
as
always. Really nice.
I agree.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, and that brings us to the end of yet another wonderful show. I want to thank Doug, who works behind the scenes, keeps us on track as our executive producer. I want to thank all of my wonderful co-hosts for joining me tonight. Next week's show, now I'm a little confused because we switched around. Who's going to be anchoring next show?
Isn't it Maureen? Is it?
No.
Or is it you, Bobby?
August 2nd, on August 9th. Next week.
No, it's me.
It's the incomparable Steve. And Steve, what is your show going to be about?
I'm really excited because it's about sacred geometry, which I think is such a fascinating subject. And I don't think we've ever had a show on sacred geometry before.
Oh, no, and that's awesome. It's huge.
Really, yeah, really very interesting. So stay tuned for that one.
All right. Well, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Goodbye.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.